Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. This episode of Spaces Podcast is supported by Twinmotion, the simple real-time rendering solution to create high-quality imagery, client presentations, and interactive experiences that help communicate your design ideas fast. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Hey, everyone.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Jason, over the last week, things have just really changed in the world as far as I believe we're entering a new era in society and specifically for us in the building industry. So throughout history, our buildings have kind of gone through phases and eras where the building design and construction has dramatically evolved based on certain things that happened during that time period. So originally, all of our buildings, homes were built based on local materials, and that's kind of how buildings look.
Where does the pink stucco come into play out here in Southern California?
Not quite sure where that came from.
Okay.
And then as we move forward, you know, the Industrial Revolution and advancements in technology of the introduction of the elevator and all these things dramatically changed home buildings. Buildings got bigger or taller or more glass, all these different things. Then we had sustainability come in once we realized, you know, we were having issues with our energy consumption. So sustainability started to change the way that we design and build. Now we're entering, if you didn't hear it in the news, the space age. And over, I think it was last week, there was the first approved flight of a flying car.
Wow. Okay.
And then, you know, there's been conversation of, this has been kind of ongoing. I don't think it's active yet, but the delivery drones from Amazon and such.
Heard about that. Yeah.
So now we're entering this period, I think, where our buildings are going to have to start to adapt to having flying cars in the sky and drones coming to drop things off.
Sounds like a nightmare.
The space travel thing, I don't think directly impacts our buildings necessarily, but maybe it does. Who knows?
Because that happened this weekend too, right?
Yeah. So Richard Branson and Virgin Galactic, had their first technically commercial flight of non-astronauts flying into technical space, as to the edge of space. And now they're offering up a sweepstakes for some new passengers to take that flight as well.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be the first one to do that.
I think I would hang off to be like the 1,000th or something like that.
Yeah, definitely hit the pause on that thing.
Yeah. So I was kind of looking around and just remembering some of the things that I've heard about how our buildings are going to change. And I wanted to get, well, first, what are your initial thoughts? Do you think our buildings will change
I think they're going to have to, right? Because even if you look at the fact that everybody's in cars and whatnot now, like how many parking spots you have to have, whether that's going to be a podium build at that point because of that, I think that's a natural evolution, right? Mm-hmm. I think it definitely has to change. I mean, if you got flying cars, I guess if they land, you'd have to have area for them to be able to land, depending on how they take off and land, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have clear space. It's almost like an ADA circle. You know what I mean? So it's like, where do you create space for that? For the first part, And then two, like, I mean, I guess it depends when they come out and what it really looks like how loud are they? You know, you don't want people taking, you've got sound ordinances for airplanes and whatnot. It's like, how loud are these cars going to be? How much space do they need to land and take off? How big are they? I mean, they're going to be huge, right? In comparison to a car. So think about that. Like, if you think about the amount of density space you need for a car, I don't know what the code is, but when they tell you how many, parking spaces you need per for the density of the building, like, how does that work with a flying car, especially in dense areas?
And I would assume there's structural impacts as well. Like if it's landing on top of the building, the force of
Launch
that,
pad, right?
yeah. So that has to be considered as well.
Totally. I mean, there's a lot of things that are open, up in the air in that question, for sure.
Yeah. So I want to go through some things that I've seen on online and things that I'm thinking of. And I wanted to get your opinion, yes or no, if you think this is likely or not likely.
Far away.
So first thing, start easy, drone pads. Do you think that will be
Likely.
okay?
It's gonna have to be. I mean, think of all those things buzzing around up there, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's gonna be so annoying. You know how loud those things
They're
are?
loud. Yeah, man. It's
It's like
ridiculous.
just a swarm of bees. That sound, just
I
constant
hate it.
buzzing.
I hate it. I hate it. And every time I see one, I want to shoot it down because like a couple will fly them in our neighborhood, and I've got half the inclination to grab my shotgun and just start blowing the things up, man. But could you imagine how many people are like paranoid when you got that many of those things flying around later?
Oh God.
Ugh.
Yeah. Okay. So the next one is, I've seen this proposed like a sky park. So it's sort of a bridge between buildings, or maybe one big building has two tall towers, and there's a bridge between where it's, landscaped and super wide, where people hang out, and that's like a activated space. Do you think
Okay.
that's likely or not likely?
For like drone parking?
No, just sky parks. So the thought is that if we're flying cars around, we're gonna have to activate the space above as well.
I'm having troubles picturing that one.
So a lot of the activity will move up,
Right.
people activity. So could a sky park be likely or not likely?
I'd have to go with likely at that point then, right? I mean, if you have access to that area now, it would only make sense that you're going to use it.
Yeah.
It's got to be. I just, I'm having troubles actually picturing it, what that would look like, to be fair, but
Yeah, just imagine a bridge, whatever, 40-foot wide bridge maybe. You've seen those like wildlife overpasses over freeways.
That's what I was picturing.
Yeah.
So were they kind of like, okay. I think that's totally likely.
Okay.
Expensive, but likely.
Okay, now what about a sky deck? Like I was just mentioning, now that you come in above, we're gonna have to change the way a lot of the buildings work. So there's no more storing all of your, or maybe there's a way you still do it in maybe a level below, but the roof of the building is now designed for arrival. Like the entry is not just at the ground floor anymore, it's the top.
It's like a valet, but at the top, kind of like where the helicopters land now.
Yeah, so it's well designed. It's
Totally feasible. 100%.
yeah. We're gonna take a quick break to share a little bit more about our sponsors. What if you could visualize your building in a couple of clicks, remove months from the design process, or create a bridge between stakeholders to solve problems before they even come up? Our friends at Twinmotion offer simple, real-time visualization for architects. Their technology lets you view and edit your scene on the go in the same pixel-perfect quality as the final rendering. Twinmotion seamlessly integrates with other tools like SketchUp and Revit, transforming your BIM or CAD models into high-quality images, panoramas, VR videos, or presentations. Sound complicated? Well, what if I told you that Twinmotion enables anyone to present the biggest ideas in the easiest way possible, regardless of previous CG experience? To download your exclusive free trial, head to twinmotion.link/spaces. That's twinmotion.link/spaces. So I was looking at one building that's already in Miami, and the developer is looking at redesigning the their roof deck, which currently has like some pools on it, and that's pretty much it. It's just a roof deck with the pools and that activated sure. space.
Some of the hotels have that.
Yeah, so it's a two-tiered roof deck for this building, and the top floor that has the pool, and then the a lower tier that wraps around that top floor that has yeah. another smaller pool and just some other amenities. So they're looking at converting that very top floor into this landing deck, basically arrival point for these flying cars.
Right.
And the developer is suggesting, you know, in this industry, you have to plan for 15 to 20 years out because, one, it takes a long time to do things. But sure. you have to be aware of what's coming up and start planning for it.
Right.
So what they're going to do, I'll read for you from this article to paint that picture. It says, a hydraulic lift raises the floor of the pool above as water drains down the edges below, exposing the deck of the skyport. You disembark amid striking panoramic views of Miami, step into a glass elevator, and get whooshed to your luxury condominium overlooking turquoise water.
That all sounds scary. I mean, like, I know technologically we're going to be able to do most of these things, but part of me at the same point is like, man, there's a lot to go wrong there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's so many moving parts.
I can't be
parts.
The only one that would feel that way. Yeah, I mean, and then you had that, wasn't there like a condo or something that collapsed that had a pool that, you know, in the past weekend or something like that? Obviously the engineering wasn't very good,
yeah,
the calculations were off, but you know, I don't know, water's heavy, and now we're talking about, you know, I don't know, obviously there's ways to do it, but it's going to get really expensive too. Like, that's the other thing.
Yeah, yeah, that the collapse was a few weeks ago, I think.
Okay.
And then in one of the earlier episodes this season, I was talking with a director of sustainability. And he talked about how Miami is having these record floods, like several yep. days of water. And that yep. is, you know, damaging the soil there, which probably, I haven't heard official, but that may have been played a role in the collapse potentially. But, you know, that sort of issue is going to be a concern as well, is like,
totally.
Does water coming in and, you know, making this soil weak add a another component to consideration.
Totally.
If you have these flying cars come in and put all of this wind pressure on a building, you have to make sure that it's designed and able to handle that, considering any changes in soil condition.
Totally.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how this evolves over time.
It's going to change a lot of things, you know?
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to ask you on the Sky Park thing, that mm-hmm. not opposite, but another option to that is, do you think potentially moving things up, like having a Sky Park, having less cars on the road potentially, would activate the streets more and a lot more of these parking garages and parking lots go away and we have more urban parks and green space around? Do you think that's possible?
I mean, I think that's possible, but that's like years and years and years down the road, right? Because you mm-hmm. got to look at it right now. Like, look at electric cars, mm-hmm. right? Not everybody owns electric cars still, even though it's like the new hot thing. And I'd say new hot as in like the last 10 years, right?
Yeah.
So that being the case, you're going to have a lot of work and a lot of time that has to go between people getting rid of vehicles and moving to, like, you know, not completely rid, but enough people to where they go to the new air ones, to where you're going to see that congestion lessen.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to take like a considerable amount of years. So at that point, yeah, I think it is. But then I think you start getting into air pollution, noise pollution, all that kind of stuff. Right.
Yeah.
So it's going to bring on a whole host of other things to consider at that point. And you're not going to look up and see clear skies anymore. Like, that's one thing to consider, right?
It's going to be a bunch of junk in the sky.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be all these things whizzing around you. You know what I mean? Like, my son was watching, you know, I introduced my son to The Matrix this weekend, right?
And oh, it's just first kind of time?
Because First time, yeah. I mean, he only caught little parts of it. Like, I wanted to say, like, you want to watch it, because he's starting to get into some, you know, pretty heavy action movies. And but anyway, so you had all these machines flying around, right?
Yeah.
And that's what comes to mind in my mind when we're saying that. Obviously, not as crude. They'll be cooler looking or whatever. But it's like, it's just a maze of stuff overhead, right? Or what was the other one?
Did you see Fifth Element?
Long time ago.
Okay.
Long time ago. I'd have to refresh myself on that one. I mean, who doesn't love Bruce Willis, right?
That's the one that comes to mind where the cars are like at several levels flying all over the place. And I didn't really think about it, but the buildings in that movie are insanely tall. And then at the ground level, it's all covered in like blackness. That's kind of what I envision the future almost being like. And then the last thing I wanted to throw at you that I saw was that flying cars will turbocharge urban sprawl and weaken social cohesion. So this is sort of going against what we talked about our buildings joining, uniting people. Do you think this is a possibility?
I think it depends, right? So if you look at right now, if you're able to jump in a little private car right now in today's time, you could get anywhere you want pretty quick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that would help a lot with the cohesion. But then again, at the same point, if all of a sudden everybody's flying these things and everybody's got these things, are you really just looking at, you know, used airspace now in comparison to where it becomes rush hour up in the sky?
Yeah.
So you may really just be trading. I mean, maybe you can split it. Maybe you're splitting, you know, travel between ground and air now. So ultimately it opens up both, right? It's like at half or 60% of what it used to be. So maybe it helps you get to places faster. So at that point, then you wouldn't be afraid to drive into LA to go see mom or whatever, you know, from where we're at. It's not going to take you an hour and 15. It's going to take you 30. You know what I mean? Like it does when there's no traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people would be more apt to do so at that point. But I really think we're trading one thing for the next. You know, it sounds cool. Like if you can afford the flying car right now, by the way, think of the insurance that's going to come with that. But, you know, right. But if you could afford the flying car right now and you go, you can go anywhere you want because there's nobody in that space.
Yeah.
But later on, like I said, I think you're probably trading one thing for the next. It's the history of evolution. Everybody's got a cell phone now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody has a cell phone now. And 20 years ago, I don't know, is that fair? 20 years ago in 2000? It was still pretty like exclusive to a certain degree, right? Everybody had the Nokia with the changeable faceplates.
Yeah.
So I think when you look at it from that perspective, you know, it'll be a really cool thing from the beginning, but then I think ultimately at the end, it'll just be swapping one thing for the next.
Yeah. So I'm kind of split on this one. I think it will turbocharge sprawl for sure, because you can travel much faster for a period of time until, you know, more people are available. And with population growth, I think we'll probably catch up and still have the same issue when this is affordable for a lot more people. But
right.
But I disagree that it will weaken societal or social cohesion, because, you know, with the suburbs now that we have and have had for some time, there's still communities that occur within these pods. And I think you do still end up with tight-knit communities. Now, the twist there is that people that can afford the flying car and will be able to travel to those far-out communities are likely to be affluent. So those communities will be very a singular class. I think that will happen for sure.
That makes sense. I agree.
So that's something to consider. But it's going to be so interesting to see how this evolves over time. It's not going to be immediate, that's for sure.
No.
We're probably, you know, even though these things will start to show up, they predict within this decade, it won't be, you know, mass adoption for probably 50 years or so where it's really changing the design of buildings, but fun to think about.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everything evolves.
Yeah.
It's just what's the next thing.
Yep. Okay. So let us know your thoughts. Love to hear from you what you think the future will look like as as things evolve. And you can do that by emailing us at hello@spacespodcast.com or message us on any of our social media platforms. Love to hear your thoughts. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Jason, for hanging out.
Always. Yep.
We will talk again on Thursday. Thanks. Thank you to Twin Motion for their support of this podcast episode. Don't forget to visit twinmotion.link/spaces today and try Twin Motion for free. Thanks again for listening. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in three simple ways for free. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually, and putting it in launch position, is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.